最新の現象しめと
Any questions?
Last lesson, right? We have touched on the mental factors of haughtiness. So I was wondering, I was thinking, what's the difference between this mind and a mind that is rejoicing about one's own virtue? Like you have advised before, like when we recite a mala of Om Mani Padme Hum, we should feel happy, right? So what is that mind that rejoices in one's virtue as compared to this mind? The second question is, here it says that the second question is, there's this expressions of haughtiness is a joy and mental happiness upon seeing one's own good health, ill signs of long life, or contaminated success. What is the meaning of contaminated success? Has it got anything to do with success that create contaminated karma?
도대체 나까지 시원한 시를 갔으나 다 잡았어도 변한 다 맞아 담다 우주실래 이거로 와 다 돈다니 아니 지금 다 쓴 다 맞아 두고 차두고요 다 잡았어야 되러 와 맞아 두고 우주실래 두고 와
Haughtiness is similar to pride.
독심이 딱 가르스나 다 또 맞아 세디 다 윤댕 깨라 직지
So haughtiness is similar to pride, and pride is inflation, you know, inflating of the mind, isn't it? Puffing up of the mind, and it is an obstacle to developing. Good qualities.
어떤데 다 제수이랑 세대 때 말 봐. 가슴 제수이랑 세도 또 란주기 다 가슴나 다 자와 강체가 될 믹체 아니 지다 가위 놓지. 참 킹바랑 쓰기 말. 또 좀 가위 놓지. 단도 란기 줄라 자와 권역도 패기 아니 시대 체지 잡이야.
Whereas rejoicing is a mind of liking, which arises when one focuses, for example, on the virtues in one's mental continuum. Yeah. So rejoicing is a mind of liking, yeah. And rejoicing is like a basis for acquiring or for increasing one's qualities, isn't it? Rejoicing can act as a support for developing respect, whereas pride and haughtiness does not have that function, because the mind is puffed up. Contaminated success here basically refers to the samsaric perfections or the enjoyments of samsara. Yeah, the such as the so it refers to those desirable objects, you know, that promotes or causes the generation of the afflictions. Yeah. So, haughtiness is a derivative of attachment, yeah. So it says it's involved with attachment. Rejoicing is not necessarily so. While it is possible, there's the danger that, you know, rejoicing can can lead to that. So if one doesn't know how to rejoice, then you know, then it can be mixed with attachment, and in so doing, then there is a danger that it will become a haughtiness. So rejoicing is a mind of liking, essentially, that arises when focused on one's virtues, isn't it? So it's a mind of liking. Whereas haughtiness, you know, is a puffed up mind, when focused on one of those one's good things, and that's mentioned here. Because if we rejoice in our virtues or qualities and then become puffed up, you know, then that's not right. Yeah, then it becomes like haughtiness, isn't it? So if it's involved with attachment, and then it becomes it leads to a puffing of one's mind, and then it will not act as support for the generation and the increase of one's good qualities. Yeah. So that is the purpose of rejoicing, isn't it? Right. So you might end up with, you know, becoming a haughtiness. Okay, next is harmfulness. So harmfulness is involved with anger, a derivative of anger, involved with it. It is non-benevolence, non-compassion, and non-mercy. It is the function of harming others. So just as it has been said above, so harmfulness is a wish bereft of the benevolence to harm sentient beings. So next is an explanation of the words, these three words that it is in the definition of harmfulness. Yeah. So since it's a wish to harm by oneself, it is non-benevolence. Since it's a wish to engage others in harming, it is non-compassion. And since it's a rejoicing upon seeing or hearing others acting to harm, so it is non-mercy. Next is a non-shame. So it is a non-avoidance of misdeeds on account of oneself, and it is involved with attachment, hatred, and ignorance. It is the function of assisting all afflictions and secondary afflictions. So just as has been said above, it is an awareness that does not avoid misdeed on account of either oneself or the Dharma. So for example, if a fully ordained monk encounters an intoxicant and avoids a misdeed on account of himself, thinking drinking this intoxicant is not something I should do, then this is shame. The opposite of this is non-shame. So non-shame is essentially the opposite of shame, yeah? You know, the virtuous mental factor of shame, which was discussed earlier. So shame is basically an avoidance of misdeeds on account of oneself. So it is a mind wishing, the mind restraining oneself from committing misdeeds, you know, on account of oneself. Yeah, so that is shame, a virtuous mental factor. So non-shame is the opposite of that.
What did that?
Non-embarrassment is a non-avoidance of misdeeds on account of others, and is involved with attachment, hatred, and ignorance. It is the function of assisting all afflictions and secondary afflictions. Just as has been said above, it is an awareness that does not avoid faults on account of others. So if one, when about to engage in a misdeed, avoids the misdeed on account of others, thinking if the teacher, the Buddha, and the clairvoyant gods were to become displeased, and I were to be despised by others, this would be unfitting. Then this is embarrassment. The opposite of this is non-embarrassment. So what is it? So it is an unserviceability of mind, and is involved with ignorance. It is the function of assisting all afflictions and secondary afflictions. Just as has been said above, it's a heaviness and an unserviceability of the body and mind, and it's a factor of ignorance. So the precious garland says lethargy is a state of inactivity due to heaviness of body and mind. And then you have the explanation of the treasury of knowledge says that it is a heaviness of the body and a heaviness of the mind. It is an unserviceability of the body and unserviceability of the mind. And the Lam Rim Chen Mo also explains it in this way. So its function is specified as assisting all afflictions and secondary afflictions because all afflictions will increase in dependence on lethargy. So according to the exhortation or to the exceptional resolve, it says a phlegm, wind and bowel occur to a great extent in the bodies of those who take joy in sleep and lethargy. Their constituents are in this order, the elements, yeah. For those who take joy in lethargy and sleep, their stomachs are unclean due to bad diet. Their bodies are heavy and their complexions unhealthy. Even their speech is slurred. And those who take joy in lethargy and sleep are confused and their aspirations for the Dharma degenerate. The childish completely degenerate from all excellent qualities. Their wholesomeness degenerates and they proceed into darkness.
Okay, that's all. What to explain on that?
Next is excitement. So it is an unpeacefulness of mind that subsequently engages an attractive cause. It is the function of hindering calm abiding. So it is an awareness that upon observing the attributes of the desire realm previously experienced, mentally scatters outwards to them and engages them with craving. And regarding this, the precious garden says, excitement is an unpeacefulness of the body and mind. So according to the great exposition of the stages of the power of the Lam Rim Chen Mo, yeah? So excitement. So the object of observation of an excitement is a pleasant and attractive object. Its aspect is an unpeacefulness of the mind that is scattered outward, and it is involved or with attachment. Thus, it engages its object with the aspect of craving. And it has the function of hindering the mind from abiding on the object of observation. So are all outward scatterings of the mind excitement? So the author does not believe it to be so. So he says, excitement is involved with attachment. But the mind is frequently distracted to objects by way of afflictions other than attachment. The mind even scatters to non-afflicted virtuous objects of observation. Hence, not all scatterings of the mind are excitement.
Scattering. True.
Excitement is a derivative of attachment. It is involved with attachment, and it functions. Excitement obstructs, it prevents, it hinders the mind from staying focused on an object. Yeah. So, it, as I say, it functions to hinder calm abiding. So excitement is involved with attachment, and it is a mind that is distracted and that scatters outwards now to a desirable object, Yeah, so excitement is a mind and it's involved with attachment, and therefore it is an outward scattering of the mind, and the mind's direct attention is focused outwards, scatters outwards to an object, you know. And this makes excitement either a non-virtuous mind or perhaps a neutral mind.
Hello.
Hello. Mine is so soft.
Hello. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh, 도신 대단 뜬다. 다 토아세들아 인지민지 갈수었다. 아 미제와 인구에 미제와다. 다 로마티 인구가야 말해. 로마다 토아라 표현다. 아 제와 용수거래 미제와 용수거래 로마티 용수에서 어디 숨겨야래. 로마다
I think I'd rather I should say just now the last sentence, I should change it to scattering, mental scattering. So mental scattering can be non-virtuous, it can be neutral. It can also be virtuous. Mental scattering, your mind is scattered outwards, not necessarily always to a non-virtuous object. Yeah. Your mind can, you can scatter. Your mind can have direction focus and runs to another virtuous object, you see. Right? So for excitement, excitement is placed as classified as a secondary affliction, isn't it? So therefore, it is either non-virtuous and at most neutral, yeah. But for mental scattering, your mind scattering, It can be non-virtuous, it can be neutral, but it can also be virtuous. Scattering, mental scattering.
What? What in the shop? That on that took sooner, Carsonata, Gobatan, and Toy in the Chaba career, Senata, that Toy and Old Jew, Java Young Chai, that Gobin Old Jew, Java Yamaris, what in the Sumer.
So what's the difference between excitement and scattering? So there can be a virtuous mental scattering, but but you will not be able to find a virtuous excitement. Excitement is a scattering of the mind, you know, due to attachment, isn't it? Whereas mental scattering doesn't occur necessarily due to attachment. Yeah, you can, you know, right? So that being the case, no, then probably we could say that excitement is necessarily scattering, mental scattering. Whereas if it is mental scattering, it is not necessarily excitement. Right, perhaps we can say this. What do you think? Scattering, right? Fensan.
What took she? Tang about Mateban is not about Kuna to Mateba Conscient, Timu chat to with the Chunam, semi imichib, imichib, Mateba, Midaba, the Lotinship, the Geno Shasumatas.
So next is non-faith. So non-faith is a non-conviction, non-clarity. So it's a non-conviction, non-conviction, non-clarity, and non-wishing of the mind with respect to virtuous phenomena, and it is involved with ignorance. It is the function of acting as a support for laziness. So just as been said above, it's the discordant class of faith, and it is involved with ignorance. So earlier when we looked at the mental factor of faith, we saw that there are three types of faith. Yeah. What is it? Clear faith, faith of conviction, and aspiring faith. Yeah. Okay. So here, non-faith is the opposite of those three. For example, you have a mind that is an opposite of clear faith. Mind, yeah, opposite of clear faith that does not have a mind of liking or, you know, a mind that doesn't focus or doesn't see the qualities of the three jewels, for example. Then you have a mind that, for example, is not convinced, a mind that doesn't believe, does not convince of in reincarnation in karma in the three jewels, and then also a mind that doesn't wish for liberation, doesn't aspire for liberation, for example. Non-faith is a derivative, or is involved with ignorance. Yeah? Okay, it is the function of acting as a support for laziness, definitely, right? Because faith functions as a support for joyous perseverance, isn't it? So if you don't have faith. Which if you have non-faith, then you're not going to have joyous perseverance. So when we don't have joyous perseverance, that means we are lazy. So the antidote, the counterforce of to non-faith is faith. So we just have to try our best to develop faith here. Next one is good. Laziness is a non-enthusiasm of the mind. Oh yeah. Engendered by the comfort of lying down, reclining on one side, and slouching about like worm. It is involved with ignorance. It is the function of hindering application to the class of virtue. Just as has been said above, is a non-enthusiasm of the mind for virtue due to a habit of lying down and so forth.
What is the love Nyawala Soba, Mumba Shimbe, Mumba Shen, Yawala Simitova, Leloni, Divish of Tamje, Nyamber Chapa, Hotamanya Shapa, Nimonam, Shiji, Nilo in the Kanga Yu, Kanga Lelo Chiba, Tela Chuba, Neman Shasmataros.
Laziness causes the entire class of virtue to degenerate. So the close placement of mindfulness says, the one basis for afflictions is laziness. Who has it? Wherever laziness is present, all dharma is absent. So laziness is the opposite of joyous perseverance. Joyous perseverance is the antidote to laziness. So laziness is a mind that is unenthusiastic, right? Or in virtue. And joyous perseverance is a mind that is enthusiastic about virtue, yeah? So in order for joyous perseverance to arise in our minds, we first must be convinced of what's the profit for us if we engage in virtue, what's in there for me. So depending on what virtue, you know, so you should always reflect on the the benefits of engaging in the particular virtue, think about its ripening effects, the effect of that virtue, and in particular think about the benefits of achieving the liberation and enlightenment. Yeah. So when we see the benefits, then we become enthusiastic, yeah, you know, and wanting to do it, yeah. So this is how then joyous perseverance can arise. Okay, so the key, basically the one key to developing joyous perseverance, is developing faith. Yeah, no faith, no joyous perseverance. And that's why it's mentioned in the Lamrim, isn't it? The outline, one major outline of the Lamrim is meditating on, developing faith of conviction in karma, the root of all happiness. Yeah. So, therefore, developing this conviction in karma is extremely important, yeah, for developing joyous perseverance. So with this faith in karma, conviction, then we'll be able to cause our virtues to increase, yeah. It's like that with everything in life, yeah. Although we don't call every effort that we do, that we put in life to be joyous perseverance, but essentially, the process is pretty much the same. Before we are willing to work hard and to achieve anything, we first have to be convinced of what's in there for us. We see, that thing is really good, yeah. And then, that we really want it. We see how beneficial it is for us. Then we will aspire, isn't it, to achieve that goal, yeah. And then with the aspiration, then comes effort, yeah. We put in, we work hard to achieve that goal or whatever it is it. So anyway, the point is that joyous perseverance is important, yeah. Yeah. So we need faith to develop joyous perseverance. And without joyous perseverance, we cannot turn away laziness, yeah. Next, non-conscientiousness. So what is it? Abiding with attachment, hatred and ignorance as well as laziness. It is a non-cultivation of virtuous qualities and non-guarding of the mind against contaminated phenomena. It has the function of acting as a support for the increase of non-virtue and the decrease of virtue. Just it has been said above, it is an awareness that not guarding the mind against the host of afflictions and misdeeds gives in to relaxation. So this is non-conscientiousness is the opposite of conscientiousness, isn't it? Right? Without so It's mentioned in the teachings that we have to rely on conscientiousness, yeah, all the time to guard the mind. Yeah. So without conscientiousness, no, then with non-conscientiousness, then you know, we allow the afflictions to arise. Yeah.
What did they shut that in the Macarilla Contalas? Missing to that in the Mount or Shop? What did they shut in the Mata Chopia Basta, Genia Panicuna, Genia Bacon, and your mobile on two of the bodies in attention with the journals?
Next is forgetfulness. So, forgetfulness is a mindfulness that is concomitant with afflictions. It has the function of acting as a support for distraction. Just as has been said above, it is a knower. Forgetfulness is a knower that is unclear mind. And forgetful with respect to virtue on account of mindfulness. On account of mindfulness of an object of observation of afflictions. Similarly, a discussion of the five aggregates also explains forgetfulness to be an afflicted mindfulness, whereby an unclear, forgetful, virtuous mind should be called forgetfulness. However, since the object of observation of afflictions, pleasant and unpleasant characteristics and so forth, do not arise as objects of awareness of such a virtuous mind, perhaps it should not be posited as forgetfulness. Forgetfulness acts as a support for distraction because in dependence on afflicted mindfulness, the mind will be distracted to an object of observation of the afflictions. Here, forgetfulness is listed as a secondary affliction, and so therefore, you have to posit it as a mind that is unclear, is not clear about on virtue, yeah, and is forgetful, no? Mind is that forgets, no? Virtuous objects of observation, yeah.
That's in the shop, got the dot, got the snow. That got this. 진이 세다티 조티레 따가선 게 미발아 소바 아니 미사와치 제바스 딘데지 샤파에 로아도 제바 강가라 샤티요 말에 어 강가다 진이나 마샤와 체체다 게 미바 미사와치 다 제바치 다 니모 미미바 틴츠 틴제 아니 게 미바 제바시 해시모라 다 진이 세다티라 샤시캅티라
Give me from Missau.
Missau, and Jabberche, the doctor, the person. Cosota, Nimomi, make what change, Nimomi, you make what is a change, and give me what Jabberche, the genius, got the shadow.
So, yeah, so in here in this context, so forgetfulness is a mind that is focused on a non virtuous object observation, and through that becomes unclear with respect to virtuous objects of observation and then forgets them. Okay, so the function of forgetfulness is a support for distraction, isn't it? Because independence on afflicted mindfulness, independence on the mindfulness that is focused on non-virtuous objects of observation, right? Then the mind is distracted to that.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So because it is distracted by a non-virtuous object observation, the mind goes observes that, and in the process forgets about a virtuous object of observation.
The whole life.
You have afflicted mindfulness here. Afflicted mindfulness is no focus, you know, it's mind focusing or this focus on a non-virtuous object, and it holds on to it without forgetting it. So this is afflicted mindfulness. So this acts a condition for the mind to forget about virtuous objects of observation. Okay, next is non-introspection. It is a wisdom that is concomitant with afflictions and engages unknowingly in activities of body, speech, and mind. And it has the function of acting as a support for tungwara. I think it's a support for infractions. Tungwara. So it acts as a support for infractions or the literal translation is downfalls. You know, you hear the word downfall. Yeah, downfall. Yeah. So, in some commentaries, non-introspection is also said to act as a support for negativities. So negativities and downfalls. So it is an afflicted wisdom that engages unknowingly in the activities of the three doors, yeah? And it is the discordant class of introspection. That this non-introspection acts as a support for downfalls accords with what is said in engaging the Bodhisattva deeds. Even though learned, faithful and diligent in effort, many become tainted by downfalls due to the fault of lacking introspection. So, therefore, in the teachings, yeah, we are advised, you know, to be on the to be vigilant all the time. Vigilance, yeah. Introspection is vigilance, right? So we have to cultivate introspection all the time, continuously. You know? Because without introspection, then we will not be able to guard our body, speech, and mind against negativities, and we will not be able to protect ourselves from committing downfalls and infractions of the vows and so forth. Yeah. Next is a distraction. So it is a scattering of the mind. It is involved with attachment, hatred, and ignorance. It is the function of hindering separation from attachment. So, just as it has been said above, it causes the mind to be distracted from its object of observation through the force of afflictions. Okay, so a discussion of the five aggregates explains it as a scattering of the mind due to five attributes of the desire realm. Okay, then, is there a difference between distraction and excitement? Excitement is a scattering to attractive objects previously familiarized with, and it is involved with attachment. Whereas distraction can be distracted. Distraction can be distracted to any object and be involved with all three poisons. Thus, they are different. So, if one is asked if there's a difference between these two, excitement and distraction, one would have to say that they're different. Yeah. For excitement is it's involved with attachment, and due to attachment, it is an outward scattering of the mind, you know, to an attractive object.
Toxin, that Namiang City, that Namiang City Karasana, that on that 다 인지미지 유동어 유지국에서 말해 딱 가르치면 유낙 가야로 마시는 믹체 넘버 영대바스 다 조조 아니 디목 온 것이 다 영대바 아니 도착이 영대바 아니 공도 온 것이 영대바 다 지리과 용하시 다 돈다 남양세
Distraction is not necessarily focused on an attractive object. Yeah. And one can be distracted due to attachment or anger or ignorance. Yeah. So it's not necessarily involved only with attachment.
Yeah.
So distraction here is placed as classified as a secondary affliction. Yeah. And therefore, in this case, distraction can be a derivative of ignorance. It can be involved with ignorance. It could be involved with attachment. Or it could be involved with anger, yeah. When distraction is divided, then there are six, yeah. Distraction by way of its very entity, external distraction, internal distraction, distraction by way of signs, distraction by way of unfavorable states, and distraction by way of attention.
Okay,
distraction by way of its very entity is explained to be the five sense consciousnesses. The reason is that at the time of being set in equipoise on meditative stabilization, if any of the five sense consciousnesses are generated, then the mind arises from meditative stabilization. Thus, they are called outward distraction of the mind away from meditative stabilization. From this, you can come to understand that concentration, yeah, is not to be cultivated by the sense consciousnesses. Concentration is achieved, you know, by the mental consciousness, yeah. Because when the five consciousnesses are generated, then you can have distraction, yeah. You can't be concentrated if you are distracted. External distraction is when one is engaged in the virtues of the three, listening, contemplation, and meditation. In the outward scattering of the mind to the attributes of the desire realm without abiding in them. That is the virtues, since it causes scattering to an erroneous object of observation without abiding on the virtuous object of observation. It is called such. Internal distraction is laxity, excitement and craving for the taste of meditative absorption at the time of being set in the equipoise of meditative stabilization. What is the reason for calling these internal distraction? They are so called because they are the main obstacles for cultivating meditative stabilization internally. Next, distraction by way of signs is to put effort in virtuous training with the thought. How wonderful it would be if another person were to develop conviction in me, thinking that he has attained a concentration. Essentially, this is getting involved with the eight worldly dharmas. Yeah. Distraction by way of unfavorable states is a puffing up of the mind, conceiving I and mine when feeling that one is engaging in virtue, arises in dependence on the unfavorable states of the view of the transitory collection and pride. So distraction by way of unfavorable states is essentially a puffing up of the mind, yeah. Essentially pride,
yeah.
Distraction by way of attention is, for instance, giving up meditative absorption of the fourth concentration for the meditative absorption of the third concentration or below. Or thinking, giving up engaging in the great vehicle, I shall abide in the lesser vehicle. So these types of distraction explained here are thought to be general enumerations of distraction, but it is not definite that they are actual secondary afflictions. Yeah, so there are these six types of distraction, right, discussed here. So there are six types of the distraction discussed here. Yeah. So the first is unspecified. It's unspecified means not specified as either virtuous or non-virtuous. Yeah. And then the last one is included within virtue. So the distraction in this context is classified as a secondary affliction, yeah, and therefore is afflicted, isn't it? Having said that, you know, then in some of these types of the distraction mentioned here, not all are non-virtuous, yeah. Not all are afflicted, yeah. So the text says the last one, which is distraction by way of attention, is included within virtue, yeah. So says the text says it is taught that the distraction that is an actual secondary affliction is, for instance, the external and the internal distraction. Yeah.
더블로 숨배 터진 집에 로드 쟤나 미시도 쟤고 소 대다 토하는 남의 여번이 쉬되는 영시 집에 지금 얘기는 남 간녀와던 대다게 차도 봐 힘배 대다 줘나 대양 콘도던 콘진 토와던 예신 대차도 봐 힘배 힘봐 소 소소 쟤가 차대 배신이 맞담배 원배는 뭐 신나 살로
Anyway, those of keen intellect need to analyze this in detail. So in this way, these 20, from belligerence up to destruction, are called secondary afflictions, because they are near to or involved with the root afflictions. Furthermore, you should understand them individually, belligerence and resentment being near to anger and being involved with it and so forth. Most of them are clear from the knowledge passages that has been previously cited.
What did you say? That's all Tony, Carsena, that Carsena, that Nino said it him, but it's our Zanian number, Nibu Yetinish, that's a new monarch, Nibu Yetinish. And not the chat of what she did, Kunsu Topolo Chatters, just a Nino Sigway, Junsentis.
So the reasons why these are called the secondary afflictions are because these minds are close or near to the root afflictions and are derivatives of the afflictions, yeah, the root afflictions.
Yeah.
So if you remember, there's belligerence, resentment, jealousy, spite, yeah. So these are involved or are derivatives of anger, right? Then the mindfulness, deceit, dissimulation, haughtiness, excitement, for example, those are derivatives of attachment. They arise with attachment, yeah, as a condition.
Yeah.
Then you have concealment, I think lethargy, non faith, lelora. I think laziness also, right?
Yeah.
So these are derivatives of ignorance. Yeah. And there are many others that are derivatives or they are involved with all three mental poisons, yeah. Like non introspection, non conscientiousness and so forth. We'll finish this on Thursday. You know, there are what we have got, the four changeable mental factors, right? And then that's it lah. Then next week is semester break. And then you come back from the break for your favorite exam. Exam is on the 14th, right? I think Sunday, yeah. Okay, any questions? You please take a queue number. When your turn, the SMS will come.
Page 83, it says, mine is old text, so I'm not sure whether it's 82 or 83. Distraction by way of attention is virtuous. Then the second part of it says, giving up engaging in a great vehicle, I shall abide in lesser vehicle. Even though abiding in lesser vehicle is virtuous, how then would giving up the pledge and vows of the mind of enlightenment be virtuous? It's a downfall, yeah?
Unnecessary.
So, it's not necessarily a downfall?
Shariputra did that, I think, right? There's a mind that gives up bodhicitta, and that is not virtuous, right? But then what the mind that enters the Hinayana path is virtuous, yeah.
That's what I said just now. Abiding in less vehicle is virtuous, but giving up bodhicitta is non-virtuous. So, but this involves the two aspects together to be this distraction by way of attention or just abiding in the lesser vehicle.
I guess entering into the Hinayana path is the greater, is the point of the sentence here. Because you enter upon giving up the Mayana. You enter the Hinayana upon giving up the Mayana. So the weightage seems to be on the entering.
Page 77, lethargy. It says it is unserviceability of body as well as mind. So since this is a mental factor, how is it an unserviceability of the body? Lethargy is an unserviceability of body and mind. Since lethargy is mental factor, how is it an unserviceability of the body?
So we have to define the heaviness of body here, right?
Mukpa.
I can assure you that those who are thin can also be very lethargic.
Heaviness
stress of body. Heaviness of the body. Lethargy refers to the mind that makes you and the mind, the body and the mind, feeling heavy.
Last one can
Just like pliancy is a mind that makes the body and mind extremely serviceable, yeah, for virtue. Yeah.
So the last one is, can I request Ken Rinpoche to explain out of these 20 those objects that have not been mentioned in class before or clearly mentioned in the text, the object of observation of these 20 secondary. Those that have not been mentioned before in class or not mentioned clearly on the text, the object of observation.
Amen.
We shall not have any explain, I don't know. Huh? All? How we shall?
So I think belligerence, resentment, consumption has been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Consumption was mentioned. Spite, jealousy, miserliness. Maybe there's a okay. Deceit. Dissimulation has taught haughtiness, harmfulness. Perhaps it is same as the non-harmfulness. I'm not sure. Same for non-shame, non-embarrassment, lethargy, excitement. Faith will be non-faith will be object of faith. Laziness. Non-conscientiousness will be conscientiousness, and non-introspection, and distraction, I guess, will be any object. Yeah.
Which one? One. First one.
Belligerence.
Huh?
Belligerence.
Draw. Huh? Draw. Draw.
Object observation, yeah?
Yeah, only object, because aspect and function are very clear.
Probably the object observation of belligerence would be the ones the objects of observations of anger, yeah. And sentient beings, suffering and sources of suffering, isn't it? These three being in close proximity, nearby. So like what I mentioned before, anger is the basis for belligerence, yeah. So belligerence is probably which is an inflamed anger, basically. It's a stronger form of anger, yeah.
So will it be the same for resentment?
Probably should be the same.
Consumment was taught as one's misdeeds, own misdeed. Yeah.
Chaba.
Chaba.
So for concealment, the objects of observation are basically one's and other's faults. I guess perhaps you could posit the same objects or observation for with anger. Yeah. Yes, and yeah. Same.
Same for jealousy.
The good things of others, yeah.
My zealousness.
pesi tingre ta sana se de ta chore ta 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 langi ta no gino long cho so pas ta 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 de shag me ta sana
perhaps one's possessions, one's wealth.
Deceit.
Any kind of good quality? So deceit, the object observation for deceit is any good qualities, yeah. Why? Because focusing on any good qualities and then you act as if you have, you possess them, whereas you don't, yeah.
This refers to your own, yeah, one's own good quality, or also refer to others. This looks more like one's own.
The thing about deceit is, it's clear that, of course, in general, we talk about one good object is a good quality. No, object is a good quality. You're observing in a good quality. But what deceit does is, while observing the good quality, you act as if you have it when you don't have it. So now the next question is, can deceit be in relation to somebody else other than yourself? You're acting out of deceit. Let's say I like somebody, that person doesn't have any good qualities, and I pretend that that person has good qualities. Whatever, you know, you can. Isn't it? So what is what advertisement is, yeah? So whether it's dissimulation or deceit, it talks about, you know, either hiding one's own faults or pretending to have qualities that one doesn't have, yeah. It's more to, it seems to be more to do with oneself, right? It seems to be doing more with oneself, right? So, but if you go by the definitions of these two minds, it's more to do with oneself, yeah. Deceit is, you know, pretending to have qualities that one does not have, and then dissimulation is hiding, basically concealing or hiding one's faults, you know, pretending not to have those faults. Yeah.
For haughtiness, it's very clear it's one's own good health, prosperity, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Harmfulness will be objects of anger.
Number two. Sentient beings.
Only sentient beings, yeah? And non-shame and non-embarrassment, I guess, will be misdeeds.
Yeah, misdeeds.
So same as shame and embarrassment. Yeah? And lethargy? Watch TV. Observing TV.
No. Look, chat. Facebook.
Oh.
More popular, is he? Perhaps you can posit many objects for this, yeah.
Many different kind of objects, but maybe there isn't six charge. I am
not sure you could point to just one, you know, one object observation.
So for examine, it's quite clear, pleasant and attractive object. Non-faith will be observing virtue, I guess, same as faith. Yeah, virtuous phenomena, it says down here.
You have a good one. So I guess you could posit the object's observation for non-faith to be those that are posited for faith, yeah.
So same for laziness, also observing virtue.
Yeah.
And non-conscientiousness will be also... Same. Forgetfulness. Says... Mindfulness of an account of object observation afflictions. So whatever the afflictions observe.
Basis for developing afflictions.
Non-introspection.
Activities of one's body, speech, and mind.
So I guess distraction will be any object.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we'll look at the four changeable factors next lesson, yeah.
Ken Rinpoche, can we please check what you said was the object of observation earlier for concealment? You said one's faults and the faults of others, just to clarify. And also for distraction. On page 82, distraction by way of signs and distraction by way of unfavorable states. It wasn't indicated in the explanation on page 83 what these two types of distractions were. Because it sounds like when we are talking about the secondary affliction, it's referring specifically to external distraction and internal distraction. Distraction by way of its very entity is indicated as unspecified, and the last one is that the last type of distraction is included within virtue. But it's not clear as to where distraction by way of signs and distraction by way of unfavorable states. What are those two? Where does that fall?
세마군이 아 이영방 개월에 미 개월에 니니는 군이 영화
삼무단에다 관시다 디스다 뭐 진시대 샤르와
도로남지
개월에 또 삼무단에
That's why I have to analyze.
Okay, and then the first question regarding the objects of, just to confirm the objects of observation for concealment, how is the faults of others also object of observation? I thought it was only with relation to one's own faults.
那他真的他贴什么单的？他那这个这怎么样？电话卡线呢？记得吧？他让他新机就你个消息，我提的。他新机就别办呢？我差不多都弄不到。那么新机就别呢？记得吗？就他这什么单了？他毕竟，可能那是兄弟们的电话卡线呢？差别没保险，都让他新机就你个消息。他新机就别办呢？他你把约咋的？差不多办了，他这什么单了？
The text that we are using talks only about one's own faults and mistakes. Yeah. But in some commentaries, others, the mistakes of others are also posited as the objects of observation. So, if we conceal the mistakes of others, is it a fault? Does it become concealment? So this is what we have to think about, yeah. So is it all right to conceal the mistakes of others or not? That's the question.
But Ken Rinpoche, if we don't conceal the faults of others, does that mean we are exposing their faults? Because under the four qualities of training of patience, one of is it even when one's own faults are exposed, we do not expose others' faults. So I'm not sure about whether that means we expose others' faults.
So the question to answer is it all right to conceal the mistakes of others or not?
We can say yes because we are taught to only look at the qualities of others and not to look at
Then Buddhists don't need lawyers and Buddhists don't need to go to court.
No, I mean, I'm just answering Ken Rinpoche's question, right? Because the whole idea is that we are supposed to look at others' qualities and try not to focus on their faults. But for focus on our own faults.
Depends. So the four trainings you brought up, you know, that is in the context of anger, you know. So if derided, so you do not deride if you're doing it out of anger. If your faults are exposed, then you shouldn't expose the faults of others out of anger. Right? Because it says here, when you try to hide the faults, when another person, such as the virtuous friend, points out, benignly points out, it shows the motivation. So there's a need to point out, right? Or expose or point out the fault. Yeah. Otherwise, without which that person cannot confess or purify, isn't it? Yeah. But it has to be done with a benevolent motive or intention. Yeah. A wish to benefit. Yeah. So if we retaliate or if we point out the faults out of anger, then it is wrong. But I wonder if it is a fault or is a mistake to point out the fault or expose the fault with an intention to help or benefit. Perhaps there isn't any fault in pointing out the faults of someone if that is done with an intention to benefit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Stop here.
Let's touch on your mind. Think about your mind.
To chill. To chill.
Okay, so Thursday will be the last class. Okay, we'll finish with the four finish off with the four changeable mental factors, and then so no class next week, and the exam is on 14th of October, Sunday, at 3 p.m. Okay, we'll finish off with the usual prayers.